We're looking at Parshas Ekev, and there are a couple of different topics that I'd like to cover today in Parshas Ekev. One is, I call this Roman numeral number one, Midat HaRachmanut. A person should always feel compassion. Or is that perhaps not so? Maybe there are certain situations in which we should not feel compassion. That's Roman numeral number one. And then we get to Roman numeral number two. And that is Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is what's called Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Osa. What is unique about Eretz Yisrael? And finally, what I'd like to try to get to, if we have time today, is the special relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. So in order to begin our discussion, let me just get the right page. Just give me. So as far as Roman numeral number one is concerned, our first topic for today, the Ramban points out here in Parshas Ekev, but again, I'm missing the page here for a second, so you'll have to trust me that the Torah says that we're not allowed to have rachmanus in certain situations. In Parshas Ekev, if somebody could find the psukim for me inside, I'd be much obliged. The Torah tells us lo sechay kol neshama, that we have to conquer the land of Israel and we have to destroy the inhabitants of the seven nations. We find something very similar to this principle of lo sechaya, of the absolute nature of our obligation to destroy, in this case to take human life, a little bit later on in Dvarim Perek Yutes. Well, the Torah says that in the case of a Rotzeach, we have to put the Rotzeach to death. And the Torah adds the following words. It says, Lo tachus einecha, which means that you're not allowed to have compassion on the Rotzeach. You must put him to death. And the Torah adds a few words here. It says, "Lo tochus eincha olav uviarta dam hanoki miYisrael v'tov lach." So Rashi says, "Lo tochus einecha shelo tomar harishon kvar nerag lama anu hargim ezev v'imzu shnei Yisraelim arugim." You know, if you kill the murderer, then not only has one person died, but two people have died. There's a natural tendency on the part of a Jew to be compassionate. We're called Rachmanim b'nei Rachmanim. Zemofia bidvarim yutet ki hadaf shel parsha ne'lam li. Ani ma'od hayom yesli yamim shem yomim tovim emachshev v'yesh yamim shem lo tovim emachshev. Hayom dafka lo mutzlach mibchinat hamachshev. Haya li daf, v'hadaf halach li li'ibud, mistoma im ani amshich lechapes oto, ani emtza oto, aval ha'shila hi ein lanu harbe zman, v'lachen ani lo rotze levazvez et hazman shelcha v'shelachem. Aval im haya li zman, hayiti motze et hadaf hazeh, she'ani lo yodea eifo hinachti oto, ulai ze betoch hamachshev, v'sham who may be parshat Ekev binogel lishivat amamim shelo tachus alav v'sham yesh Ramban. So again, in Parshas Ekev, the Ramban points out that there's such a thing called misguided compassion. Compassion is a great thing, and it's a wonderful attribute, and we all have to strive to become compassionate people. However, in certain cases, the Torah says not to have compassion. One of the cases is the conquering of Eretz Yisrael, and the other case is here in Dvarim Yud Tet, which you might have a copy of on your page, and if you don't, you'll have to hear it bal peh, and that's with regard to putting a murderer to death. And the halacha is that we're not allowed to have any compassion on the murderer, and we have to put him to death without compassion. Isn't this very typical of the of Western civilization? Like, take for example the state of Israel, right? Aren't we very eager to put a murderer to death? Or am I being a little cynical? Nobody caught my cynicism, so I guess you're all tmimim, which is very good. What?
It took 10 years to put Eichmann to death.
Correct. Yeah, thank God for that. At least, you know, but you have to murder a lot of people until finally, you know, they let you put someone to death. Well, it's not enough to kill 3 people, right? You have to kill 3 million people.
Yeah. תמיד אסור לעבוד, כי תמיד זה יהיה הדבר הזה שאתה עורד מישהו מישראל. מה זה שייך למקרה הזה? בכל מקרה שיש דין מוות, אני גורם לכך שאני עורד מישהו, שאני מקטין מישהו מעם ישראל. כמו אמרנו הרי קודם, רוצח, דין לא מוות. אז למה להרוג אותו? הרי אנחנו עושים פה מעשה של פגיעה בעם ישראל, כאילו הורגים עוד מישהו, עוד מישהו. זה לא עונש אחר נגיד. אבל זה לא רק על רוצח.
כן, הדוגמה היא רוצח. עוד פעם, יש הרבה דוגמאות שבהם התורה אוסרת את הרחמנות. אוקיי, יש לנו דוגמה של לא תחי כל נשמה, יש לנו דוגמה של כל הרוגי בית דין, וביארת הרע מקרבך. שוב פעם, דוגמה שאני הייתי אומר, אדרבה, אולי זה אכזריות להרוג מישהו. ההפך, התורה אומרת שכאן לרחם על האדם הוא בעצם אכזריות. זה מה שלמדתי מפרשת עקב. So the Ramban here in Dvarim Yud Tes, Pasuk Yud Aleph, says, Lo tachus einecha, we already saw Rashi, and he says, V'tov loch, ki biur hadam hanoki mitzvah v'tova gdolocha lahatzil mimoves nafshecha. In this case, by putting the murderer to death, you're in effect saving human life. Do you follow? That's v'tov loch. Ki arachmanut al arotzchim, because even though you might say, well, why shouldn't we have compassion on a killer? Shvichas domim. That itself is considered murder. Midei arotzchim, midei acherim hamitparzim. It's an unbelievable yesod here that I saw in this Ramban that I wanted to share with you. And the Ramban is consistent in his blasting against misplaced rachmanus. That sometimes misplaced rachmanus could be equal to murder itself. Let's take, for example, the Abarbanel at the end of Chumash Dvarim. There also we'll see a very similar idea, because the Torah says in Dvarim Lamed Gimel, Va'asher cherev ga'avosecha. What is cherev ga'avosecha? In other words, it seems like in some cases we should be proud of the cherev. What does it mean to be proud of the cherev? Pride and cherev seem, from a Jewish ethical perspective, to be mutually exclusive. He says, Hine hu yis'ale bochar Yisrael amo sheyishlechu yodom be'oyveihem. God has chosen the Jewish people, and we are given the agency, the responsibility to get rid of our enemies. And that's what we have to do. That's what it means, Vasher Cherev Gavasecha.
Where does it say that?
That's in Dvarim Lamed Gimel Pasuk Chav Tes. If you don't mind, I'll underline it for you. Okay. And therefore, says the Abarbanel, he's Zoyer, we should be very careful. Sha'afal pi sheyikrushu lecha, even though there are those who will stand up and will contradict you, and they'll try to smash you down, and they'll try to tell you that you should definitely not have, you know, not be so cruel. You should be more compassionate with regard to your enemies. No. Lo terachem aleihem. In fact, who is the one who had rachmanus, and as a result we suffer probably till this day? Shaul HaMelech, correct. And Shaul HaMelech lost the melucha for this. So you'll say, but Shaul HaMelech was just being compassionate on Agag. Aval alba mosecha tidroch. The end of this pasuk says, alba mosenu tidroch, means that we have to trample our enemies. Ki kein tziva Hashem yisal. Basically, concepts like destroying our enemy, revenge on our enemies, all these are very Jewish concepts. It all depends on what God commands us to do. If God commands us to take revenge, and if we have to wipe somebody off, then that's what we have to do. We can't feel a sense of, oh, I want to be a Yefei Nefesh, I want to be a Rachman. This is what we're suffering from today. That people, what?
I have a question. So what Reuben, Shimon and Levi did to Shechem,
so that was a different problem, because we can't go beyond our limits, meaning we have to have a reasonable obligation to kill someone knowing that we'll survive it. You know, there's no mitzvah to put your own life into danger. He says that the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, the Rambam writes that that with regard to chet, there's a halach of onesh, there's a mitzvah to punish sinners. And he says that it's a shtus, says the Rambam, hachoshvim, those who think, shehanochas dinei atashlumun hu chemla al bnei adam, that if we'll go easy on those who will damage others, or he gives examples of gazlanim who steal from others, or they edim zomimim, various kinds of criminal, financial criminal acts, and then we might want to have chemla. Chemla means pity. Aval hu achzorius gemura, says the Rambam, what you call pity is really cruelty. The hefseid seder hamedino, you're undermining the very fabric of society. You're creating anarchy in society because there's no system of punishment. There's no way that you can inhibit the criminals by instilling fear in their hearts, because they know that you're compassionate and you're not going to do anything against them. So if you think you can get away with murder, which is a phrase in English, but it literally means get away with murder, because we're all such rachmanim. And we have to realize that the Torah dictates to us in certain circumstances that rachmanis is shvichas damim, as the Rabban pointed out. We'll see it also in the Sefer HaChinuch, when he codifies the mitzvah of lo lochus al rotzeach v'chovel, that when people are guilty of crimes, they have to be punished. He writes, she'im lo niser hamazikim v'nevair hara mikirbenu, if we don't remove those destructive forces, if we don't burn out, so to speak, destroy evil from amongst us, ishes re'eu chayim blo, you're going to end up with total anarchy. V'lo yisyashu amedinos, there's no way you can establish a Jewish society. Jeff, any?
Excuse me. When did you turn it on?
Parshas Ekev. So we're opening up to Dvarim Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis. And this you'll see in Rabbi Shechter's notes here. He has it on page 20, and it says, "Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doreisho Satamid Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo Meireishis Hashana V'Yad Achris Hashana." So this is very famous. God has a specific and unique supervision over the land of Israel from the beginning of the year till the end of the year. Yud Aleph Yud Beis. And the Sifri points out on this very pasuk, V'chi osa bilvad hu doresh halo kol harotzos hu doresh. Hashem supervises in his divine wisdom on every land on the face of the earth. And the answer is kaviyochel eino doresh ala osa. There's a special, unique drisha that doresh osa. In other words, there's a direct supervision on Eretz Yisrael, on the part of the divine being. Of course, God supervises the entire world, but the world is, so to speak, secondary. It's dragged along by Eretz Yisrael. The primary and direct hashgach of Hashem is on the land of Israel. And the language of the Sifri is that kaviyochel eino shomer ela Yisrael ubishvil shmira shomram is shomer es hakol imahem. It means that God is protecting the people of Israel in the land of Israel, and once doing so, it sort of spills over as a shmira for all nations of the world. Now, in that same perek, if we fast forward to Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says that if chas v'sholem we anger God, v'avadetem mehera, this is in the second parashah of Kriyat Shema, will be lost and will be evicted from the land. In other words, the land doesn't tolerate the sin and it vomits us forth. And therefore, v'samtem es dvarei eleh, if we take the words of Hashem to our hearts and to our souls and we fulfill the mitzvahs, then we're guaranteed that we can live on the good land. And once again,
it needs your password.
Oh,
I will forget it as soon as I type it.
Okay. No spaces. Okay, these are fours.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. And then you'll see something that says Schechter on it if you could just print it all out.
Right. Yeah, what is it? What's
yeah, I gave it to Jeff. Yeah, he's coming around the other way, so you could meet him that way. Okay. I apologize, Rabosei, for all the technical challenges of today. I had it also in my Derech Shir. I wanted to print out a tshuva from Moshe Feinstein, and I couldn't get access to Bar Ilan, which we have here. So Sifri comments, Afal Pisha Ani Megala Magle Eschem Mina Oretz Lechutzorz Heyu Mitzuyonim B'mitzvahs Kishetachzeru Lo Yu Aleichem Kechadosh. This is the famous statement of the Sifri. The Ramban builds castles on the statement that in Chutzlitz we have to do the mitzvahs so that when we return to Eretz Yisrael they won't be new to us. It's a kind of chinuch process. We're prepared and we're trained for the mitzvahs here. And of course, we lost the land because of our Chara Af Hashem Bochem. We violated the Torah. But if we come back to the land after we rectify our ways, then our mitzvahs in Chutzlitz would have been adequate preparation for us to project us to live in the land. Now, Rashi gives a shortened form of this Sifri, and he says, that we have to observe the mitzvahs and chutzlaretz because otherwise they'll be like brand new to us.
I'm sorry, it's not taken.
You want to look in the Maral Miprag, Rashi says, we're talking about mitzvahs shebeguf. The Mishnah Kedushin says that any mitzvah that applies to the body of a person, it's not on the land of the person, you're obligated in chutzlitz. So why are we doing this as a training procession? We have an absolute unconditional chiyuv. Yesh mefarshim ki kasha golu bein ha'umos v'ein li Yisrael mekomos ubatim b'fnei atzmom rak al derech she'elos schirus in kein lo yikai v'Yisrael mitzvahs mezuzah begolus she'ein lehem batim miyuchadim v'chein tefillin v'pnei she'tzorch shalo yasiach daitim en ha'tefillin d'yumeyem dagas v'tirdus ha'golus yoser v'goreim hesech hadas u'begolus gadol k'mo sh'hoi lehem is roi she'yu p'tur mitfillin. So it comes out that according to the Maral Miprag, of course we're obligated in mitzvahs and chutzlitz, but there are certain mitzvahs that we are technically exempt from, like for example mezuzah, because we really don't own our batim, it's only a temporary kind of dwelling place. And in the case of tefillin, because of the golus, it's hard for us to focus without any hesek hadas, we're distracted from our tefillin. If we don't fulfill the mitzvah of mezuzah or the mitzvah of tefillin, then they're going to be brand new when we get to Eretz Yisrael. We're going to have trouble implementing these mitzvahs. It's therefore we should fulfill the mitzvahs like mezuzah and tefillin, even in chutz laretz, we should push ourselves. And in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin, we'll have to overcome all these distractions, put them in the back of our mind. And all this is kedei shlo yiyu kechadosh. So that you'll see going on to page 21, that according to the Maral Mifrag, really what Rashi has in mind is only two mitzvahs. That's hard to say in Rashi. Rashi seems to assume that all the mitzvahs in Chutz Laretz are preparation. Now the Torah says, we'll open up again to Parshas Ekev, Perek Tesvav, Posuk Zayin. You have that, Zev? Perek Tesvav, Posuk Zayin? Mitch, you have it?
That's Re'eh.
Oh, that's already Re'eh. Okay, so it says there in Parshas Re'eh, Ki yeh b'cha evyon me'achad achecha b'achad sharecha b'artzecha asher Hashem alkech nosein lecha. So now we're talking about the parsha of Tzedakah, and the Torah adds the word b'artzecha. And Rabbeinu Bachai picks up on this, and he says, Yoretz teaching us, she'ikar atztaka eino ela ba'aretz. That's pretty wild. That the mitzvah tztaka, fundamentally, is to be fulfilled in and only in the land of Israel. Because it says, bi'artzacha. Wow, that's pretty revolutionary. V'yafal pishi chovas aguf b'chol makom, there's nothing to do with karka. And then Rabbeinu Bachai, just to stun us, he says, "V'hu adin l'chol shara mitzvah she'ikar chiyuvan ba'aretz." The case of tzedakah, which although it's a chovas aguf, is dependent upon Eretz Yisrael. That's true for all mitzvahs. Tzedakah is just a representative of all mitzvahs. So once again, we see in Rabbeinu Bachai the same idea that we've been seeing in Rashi. Based on the Sifri, we saw it in the Ramban, that mitzvos in Chutz Laretz is not the same as mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael.
They have a different quality.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
Rashi Omer, Rashi Khan, this Parashat Re'eh. Okay. Then Rabbeinu Bachai says Shekvar Hizkiru Chazal Ki Vasoso Oso V'Chutz Laretz U'Kidei Shelo Nishkechem B'Kishenachzor La'aretz. So he quotes the Sifri that the mitzvahs in Chutz Laretz is that we shouldn't forget when we come back to Eretz Yisrael.
It's 26 pages. You want the whole thing?
All right. You know what? Just for the time being, you know, if you can print out pages 9, 10. And 12, you know,
11.
11 we have already. Yeah. Okay. Now he has a piece from the Ksav Kabbalah. He was a German scholar some 2 centuries ago. And he writes that Bikiu mitzvah chovas aguf b'chutzot yireh le'enei kol she'ein kan yeish min ha'geula. He wants to suggest that the purpose of fulfilling mitzvot and chutzot is not just to prepare us and train us for Eretz Yisrael, but it's also meant to be an encouragement, a consolation, a message to the Jewish people that these mitzvot will be restored. Although right now they're in abeyance, right? They're sort of frozen in suspended animation, but they will be defrosted and they will be reactivated. Yesh tikva lashuv el beis melech olamim kimei kedem. So again, to summarize what we've seen so far, that the hashgacha, the divine providence of God, is direct on the land of Israel, the people of Israel, then it spills over to the nations of the land. We saw that the idea of mitzvos is to fulfill the mitzvos here in Eretz Yisrael. And in Chutzla, it's to sort of prepare. What does it mean, prepare? So the Maral says to prepare ourselves for tzitzis, for mezuzah and tefillin. Okay, thank you so much. Yeah. Still leave it open if you can.
Yeah, I did.
For the meantime.
These were non-capital letters. That was why I was
asking. Oh, really? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
What have you got there?
So this was page 10, which I didn't give you, because somehow it got lost in the shuffle. And for this, I want you to open up the Chumash, because I wanted to promise you the Ramban on Parshas Ekev, which is really meant to be the first subject of our discussion today. So if you'll open up to Perek Zayin in Sefer Dvarim, Pasuk Tes Zayin, and Mitch, I hope you'll confirm that that is Parshas Ekev, because otherwise I'm really embarrassed. Okay, good. So, because the parsha she officially is supposed to be on the parsha that's coming up, so even though it really doesn't matter to me one way or the other, but so it says, "V'achalta es kol ha'amim asher Hashem Elokecha nosein loch." Right, this is a reference to the seven nations that occupy the land, and the Torah says, "Lo sochos eincha aleihem," which again is almost identical to the pasuk that we mentioned earlier with regard to killing a murderer, because there it says lo sochus eincha olav. Here it says lo sochus eincha lehem. You know, it's just the difference between singular and plural, but otherwise it's the same basic idea. So the Ramban points out with a very, shall I say, dramatic and extreme kind of phraseology, he says lo sochus eincha lehem. And he says, "Ki arachmonus birachmonus hatipshim yovad kol mishpat yeobed kol mishpat." There's something called rachmonus hatipshim. Very interesting. Usually, we would identify compassion as something positive in and of itself by definition. He's saying, "No, this is called rachmonus hatipshim." The Or Chaim uses a phrase here in Parshas Ekev, which is very similar to what we saw in the Ramban in Parshas Re'eh. There the Ramban says Rachmanus al Rotzke Mishvichas Domim, and the Or Chaim here in our Parsha in Ekev says Lo Sochus Eincha al Derech Omro V'Rachmei Rishoyim Achzori. The Rachmanus that's misguided, that's the compassion of evil, is actual cruelty. This is not a mida tova to have rachmanis when it's inappropriate. Elamida ra ki mokesh hu loch. At the end of our pasuk, ki pasuk tezayin, it says ki mokesh hu loch. Pirish ha'am, the nation is going to be tripping up, and there'll be barriers and mokshim along the way. Kshat ochas olav atamis achzer al atzmecha. You hear that? I want you to hear the language of the Or Chaim. I mean, this is a holy person from Tzfat, you know, 5 centuries ago. Kishatachos olav. Sometimes you'll have compassion on someone. Atomit achzer al atzmecha. What you call chas, what you call rachmanus, is in truth achzorios. And I want to point out that if you take a look a little bit earlier, because the Ramban, when he says Rachmanus HaTipshim, he sends you to an earlier Pasuk Yud Beis, again in Perek Zayin, Hoya Ekev Tishmunel Eis HaMishpatim Ha'elu Shmaitim V'asisim Osam V'shomer Hashem L'cha Es HaBris V'asaches Esher Nishpa La'vosecha. And in the context of this Pasuk, the Ramban says Hizkir Es HaMishpatim Ha'ele. The emphasis here is on HaMishpatim Ha'ele, which means that if there's a violation of Mishpatim, which includes all sorts of financial cheatings and scandals and so forth and so on, then the Torah says you have to punish the criminal. And that means we have to observe the Mishpat of the Torah. And sometimes the Torah says that you have to do it publicly, V'chol Yisrael Yishmu V'ro. Says the Ramban, Ki rabim yirachamu Miliskol ha'ish. In many cases, a person is chayav skila for very severe capital crime. And yirachmu, the people have rachmanis. They say, how can you apply the death sentence to such a person? Or, for example, one of the four mises bezin is called sreifa, and they have rachmanis on a person rather than burn him. Again, burning is a whole different thing. It's not exactly what you and I think it is. Achrei shenasis havera. And he says, the Torah says, lo sochus et encha olav, that you should not have rachmanus. If somebody is obligated, is in violation of a capital crime, and he's been condemned for that punishment, then there's no room for rachmanus, and we have to put him to death. In fact, the Torah addressing the judges of Israel says, lo saguru mipnei ish, a person, a judge, should not be afraid of anyone. If he'll be afraid, then the whole justice system will crumble. Ki ha-mishpat le-lokim hu. Rely on Elokim. Hashem gives you the guidance and sets the guidelines for mishpat and the punishments therein. With regard to Navi Sheker, again, the Torah says, don't have fear of a Navi, because he's a Navi Sheker, lo sogur mimenu. Don't be afraid of him. In the case of Mesis Umediach, there the Torah again says, lo sochus eincha olav. Another case of someone who has to be put to death. The Yazir in the Torah warns us, lo tishma elav. Don't listen to this mesis or mediach. Don't listen to a false prophet. Mipnei hita also, he will cause you to be misguided. Velo tochus einecha, you should be very harsh with the punishments that the mishpat of the Torah requires you to mete out. If they are rachmanus, shirachmu rachei halavav al hanidodim velo tchase shelo tishtok ba'avur tokfo vir oso b'nei mishpachto. That a person sometimes makes a calculation, he'll be silent, and he won't get involved, and he doesn't want to implement punishments. He's basically a levav, a rachei halevav. You know, today we call them in our language yifei nefesh. You know, these are the bleeding heart liberals who are afraid to apply the letter of the law. And we have the Torah, and the Torah tells us that sometimes misplaced rachmanis is achzorius, and it's even not only tipshus, but it's even shfichas damim. Yeah, I'm not sure which is worse. When the Ramban in Perek Yutes, he classifies rachmanus as shfichas damim, and here in Parshas Ekev he classifies rachmanus as tipshus. I don't know which is worse, to be a shofek dom or be a tipesh. Now here's something very interesting. You know, the Ibn Ezra, there's a super commentary on the Ibn Ezra called the Avi Ezer. He lived in the 1700s. His name was Rav Shlomo Kohen ben Eliezer. He came from the town of Lisa, which is the same town. He was actually a generation before the famous Rav of Lisa, the Nesivas. And the Ibn Ezra says something that at the face value, we don't understand what he's talking about. In Dvarim Yud Aleph, that's a little bit later on, I think that's also Parshas Re'eh, it says, L'dovka bo. And the Ibn Ezra writes, Vehu sod gadol. That Dveikus is a sod gadol. Right. That's on the bottom of page 10, which I don't think we got a chance to photocopy, did we, page 10?
Oh,
it's okay. I'm just saying, so we're almost at the end, so then we can get back on board with the photocopy that I did give you. In any event, the Avi Ezer, who wants to come up with a pshat on the Ibn Ezra, why is L'dovka bo a sod gadol? I was anticipating he would talk to us about some mystical connection to God, you know, through contemplation and meditation, right? I thought he was going to tell you the sod of meditation here. No, he takes it on a whole different level, a whole different approach. And he says, Nechonim divrei Rav ki sod Hashem liyareiv hadvukim b'midos, of the concept of Vidovka, the secret of Vidovka, is to imitate the midos of Hashem. Now what does that mean? Yes, God is compassionate, but sometimes God could be very harsh. There's a midas adin and there's a midas arachmim. Shalola hachlif avodas ish bi'echov. Each person should be dovek in Hashem, and he has to do what he has to do. He has his contribution to be made, and that's what he has to do. And lachos berachmanus, he has to imitate God through dveikus and be a rachman bimakom shitzorech lichos, but not in a place where he has to get angry. So the important thing is lola hachlif, not to make these switches, but really to imitate Hashem. Hashem sometimes is this way, sometimes is that way. There's rachmanus, there's kas. He says, for example, ala talmud. A Rebbe sometimes has to get angry at a Talmud. Again, it shouldn't be an anger that's real pure anger. It should be sort of klape chutz, you know, on the outside. But let's say avaryan, someone is a criminal, we have to get angry at him. And there's no room here for anova, there's no room for humility and say, well, who am I? Tzorech lahalvish geus. At this point, we have to really robe ourselves, you know, with the garment of geus, of believing and confidence in ourselves, and sometimes even to the level of nekama, we have to take revenge. Kemaisa Pinchas, umu'atim hema b'nei aliyah. There are very few people, he says, this is back in the 1700s, imagine what it's like today, who can say that they know how to use the attributes in the right way. Asher yachzu b'midos al derech ha'emes. That they know when to activate, when to press the button of Rachmanis, and when to press the button of Onesh and Kas and Midas Adin. The Ein Koshel Bam, Halo Hema Hagdolim Asher Ba'aretz. This is what true Dveikus is all about. Okay, that was that. And then we were up to page what? Page 22 that I gave you?
Okay.
The Pasuk says in Parshas Ekev, and if you have the Chumash, it is Perek Zayin Pasuk Yud Gimel. I'm wondering if I could trouble you, Jeff. Again, Mechila, if you can give me 23. I see I'm missing 23. Vahevcha uveirachecha veherbecha uveirech privitnecha upriad masecha. And again it says, al ha'adoma asher nishpa lavosecha lases loch. Once again, the Torah is emphasizing that within the context of the love that Hashem has for Israel and the blessings that He bestows upon Israel, it's going to be Al Ha'adoma Asher Nishpa Lavosecha Lases Loch, on the land of Israel. If you fast forward to Perek Ches, when the Torah says, I'm giving you all these mitzvos, it says, "Leman tichyunu revisem ba'aretz es ha'aretz asher nishba Hashem alkecha, ki Hashem alkecha meviyachal eretz tova, eretz nachle mayim." Thank you so much. Oh, Dave, do you want my mekubos for today? Do you want to make a copy? I just didn't see you when I started the chumash class. And he says, everything is Eretz Tova, Eretz Nachle Mayim, Eretz Chitu Siora, Eretz Zeh Shemen Udvash, Eretz Ashalob Miskenus Tochalba Lechem. And the Torah tells us that we should not be afraid of our enemies, but we should have confidence. Loreshes Esa Oretz Hazos, and we should inherit the land. And then if you fast forward to Perek Yud Aleph, V'yirshu es ha'aretz asher nishbata l'avosecha. Pasuk Ches says, V'yirishtem es ha'aretz l'man tarichun yodim al ha'adoma asher nishba Hashem alokecha. It's just a refrain over and over again that these are the boundaries, this is the land that we will inherit, and that's where we're going to fulfill the mitzvahs. That's where the land will give forth the Eretz Chita, Sa'ora, Geffen, Teinu, Rimon, Zeh Shemen Udvash. This is the Eretz HaTova. This is the good land. Now, in this context, we want to discuss the special relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. So what I'm going to ask you to do is open up the Chumash to Perek Ches, Pasuk Hey. And there it says, V'yadata im levavecha ki kasha yiyaser ishas b'no Hashem alkech miyasrecha. Here we're talking about the midah of din, the harsh punishment, and it's compared to a father who punishes his son. Says the Archaim HaKadosh, Hagam sheha'umos osim resha v'toevos. Why is Midas HaDin singularly dedicated to the people of Israel and not for the other nations of the world? They're also guilty of all sorts of abominable evil actions. V'lo yakpid aleim kamo shemakpid alecha. We don't find that Hashem is as harsh with them in judging them and punishing them as he does with Klal Yisrael. Lioso elokecha sherisyachet sheim elokuso alecha. Because of the special relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, that the name of God is designated exclusively to our nation, lazeh therefore miyasreka, Hashem is very harsh. A father is going to be very lenient with someone else's son. But with his own son, because he has that love relationship, he wants to guarantee that the son will go on the right path. And if need be, if the son strays from the path, he will be punished by his father, and that's the father's obligation. That's what happens in the context of the relationship between Hashem and Knesset Yisrael. We think, why is God being so harsh with us? Look at all the nations of the world that are living. You know, I always give the example of Switzerland. You know, if you take a look at Switzerland during the Second War, they pretty much had Shalva v'Sheket. You know, and yet Klal Yisrael suffered so tremendously. Why is it that for them, you know, everything goes al mei menuchos, and for us it's so terrible? Says the Archaim, the answer to that question is right here in this pasuk. Ki kasher yiyaser ishes b'no, Hashem Elokecha miyasrecha. It's dafka because of our close relationship as a son to a father that our Father in Heaven meets out very strict and demanding punishments. The Maharal Prague wrote two works which are almost totally dedicated to this concept of the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. One of them is called the Nesivos Olam, and in that Sefer, he has what's called Nesiv Avas Hashem, the love that Hashem has for Yisrael. And the Maharal writes, Ki Yisrael Nikru Banim Lamakom. The people of Israel are the sons of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yadua, we know, Ki Ha'av Oeves Bino, Mipnei Sheba HaBen Mimenu, not only because the son comes from the father, but davar shebav mimenu mitzuraf elav biyoser, and a person obviously has a very close relationship with that which comes to him. What does that have to do with Klal Yisrael? The Yisrael hey min Hashem yisparach nivroim. Somehow, mystically, the Maharal understands that the people of Israel were generated, were created by Hashem. The Afagav Shekola Nivram Emin Hashem Yisparach. God created all creatures on earth, all the nations on the Mikol Mekom. Ein Davar Sheba Mimenu Bi Etzem Uberishona Kimo Yisrael. Somehow the creative process with regard to the divine being and Klal Yisrael is a very direct one, a very essential one. It's Bi Etzem. Kishar Ha'umos Heim Tfelim Bibriya. In terms of creation, they are Tafel. They have to play a role, but the primary role and the purpose of creation is Klal Yisrael. Kmo Shebara Hashem Yisparach Shar HaNivroi Bishvil HaAdam. Just like animals, etc. were created to serve man. Lo Nivru LiAtzmam. They don't have any independent purpose on their own. Kach Kol HaUmos Hem Bishvil Yisrael. V'im Kein Yisrael Hem HaBriya Sheba Min Hashem Yisparach. So, and Rashi at the beginning of Chumash already points out that Reishis Baral Kim Bishvil, Reishis Bishvil Yisrael Shenekraim Reishis. And the Maral goes one step further and he says that the Umos Olam are there to serve Klal Yisrael. Now you might ask, well, wait a minute, there are a couple of billion Chinese over there on the other side of the world. Are they serving me? Well, maybe if you take a trip to China. Now the Israelis are going to China. But
not only to China.
No, lately China has become very popular for Israelis. You know, not just the Yotzei Tzava. You know, after you finish the army here, you go to Asia and so forth, so the Far East. But Israelis in the middle, you know, middle-aged Israelis now and so forth are very tempted to go. You open up Arutz Sheva, and the first thing you see, you know, is the latest trip to China. You know, and how much they have this new airlines. I forget what it's called. That they take you to Taiwan and to where was the Bir Yeshiva to
Shanghai
and all these places, and it's dirt cheap and they want you to go visit these places. So one might ask, you know, all the billions of people on the face of the earth, I mean, they're here to serve Hashem, but to serve man. I mean, how and he's saying man is not just man, it's Yisrael Shenikron Banu. I mean, how is that to be understood? You know, that needs a lot of work. So the Maral wrote another great work called the Netzach Yisrael, and in that work he again writes Yisrael Umazos Mushpah Mimena, that created by God Me'amitus Atzmo Yisrael. This is really radical, that there's something about the very essence of God which creates the people of Israel. It's some part of his, an extension of the essence of God. And again, whenever you mention the Atzmuso Yisbarach, you know, you get nervous. What does that mean? The essence of God. But B'davar Zeh, in this context, in terms of the creation of Klal Yisrael, that process is Yosir Yeshlam Tziruf V'Chibro Hashem Mishar HaUmos. They have a special connection to God that the other nations of the world do not have.
Why
does Hashem call us Bonim, as we saw in our parasha, Yiser Ish as Bino, in order to indicate that special relationship between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of the creation of the people of Israel, V'nikru B'Shem Bni Bechori. That's back in Shmos Perek Dalet. Ki Hashem Ben Ye'omer Al She Nimtza Me'amitas Atzmo U'mitzad Shem Zeh Ein Baza Adayin Atziruf HaGomer Shu B'Yuchad Ki Efshah Shiyu Shnei Bonim Li'echad. He says the following, that even though the word Ben alone would be sufficient to indicate that we are created as Bonim from the Atzmusa, from the very essence of the Divine Being, but nevertheless, maybe there's someone else, another nation on the world, that could also claim we are equal bonim to you. We're also created from the very essence of God. He says the tziruf of another son would not be the same as the tziruf of Klal Yisrael to the Ribono Shel Olam. Ain't no tziruf gomur. It's not really a tziruf gomur. You might be a ben, but that's not the ultimate tziruf. We're called bini Bechori, which means that we have a status, a position that none of the Umas Olam can claim, can boast for themselves. They don't have that tziruf of Bnei Bechori. And he says the reason for that is the Efshah Shia Liyodam Echad Shnei Bechorin. The Maral says that one person cannot have two firstborn sons. Now I'm fast forwarding to summarize a little bit because we're running short on time. He says, how do we define the precise difference between our nation, the chosen nation, and the other nations? And that means it's not that we were chosen because of our good deeds. It's be'etzem. That's a bechira relationship. Shalotomar, don't think that dafka k'shem osim ritzonu shel makom, that relationship, that special unique intimacy between Hashem and Klal Yisrael is contingent upon the fact that we fulfill the will of God. V'lo kasher ein osim ritzonu shel Hashem yisparach. But if we don't fulfill the will of God, then we will not warrant being bonim and having this special relationship. Is therefore the pasuk says v'hayisi lachem lelokim. that comes first. I will be your father, your God. The Acharkach, and then it says in the later pasuk, Vehema Yu Liliam, and we are likewise committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning to fulfill His will and His mitzvahs. V'af ki Yisrael eino mekablim elokuso. Even if we're not committed, there's an absolute v'ayisi lachem elokim, a choice of klal Yisrael, that's called a bechira bi'etzem in the philosophy of the Maral. Ki ha-bechira bahem mitzad atzmam zoi bechira, that's a bechira which is not specific to tzaddikim, it's not conditional upon our fulfillment of the mitzvah, it's an automatic, absolute, inviolable choice of an intimate relationship between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'ilu yavinu ze b'nei odom lo ola al machshavto machsheves hevel lo meki Hashem Yisrael ma'as b'Yisrael. Now he goes in a tirade against, you know, Christian theology that Kilu Hashem dropped the relationship with Knesset Yisrael because we have strayed from the path. He says that's tipshus, he says. That's hevel shebahavolim. And he goes on to quote the Medrash Rabbah that says, Yodea ni kama asidim lachiveni, God says, I can declare that I know that down the line the people of Israel will cause me anguish. Kama yamruhu b'midbar, he goes ahead and he lists and delineates the sins of Israel, b'afal pichen eni nimna milagolon. Nevertheless, I'm not hesitant to redeem them. The achar shekenu lama yehei batel abris bishfil dar echad oshtayim shechatu. It means that the Jewish people always have the possibility of bouncing back, and even if they sin and they fall, they will come back and do tshuva, and therefore there's no reason to be mevatel the bris of Zera Avram. Even if the people sin, there still is a valid bris relationship. Umeata, says the Maral, Echefshar sheyichros bris. Now this bris that was entered into in Parshas Nitzavim, Esasher Yeshno Po Imadi Ayom V'Esasher Einenu Po Imadi, it was a bris that was established with all the generations, the future generations. He says, Echefshar sheyichros bris im asher lo noldu adayin. How could he have a covenant relationship entered into by people who don't even exist? Einon ba'olam avol adover bar. The answer is l'fishakaras bris im Avram mitzachu hascholas ha'uma bichlal. Avram Avinu's bris was not because of Avram as an individual, but as a representative of Knesset Yisrael. So he's not, Hashem is not being Kori's bris with Avram, but with the Ummah, with the entire nation of Israel throughout all the generations. And that bris will never be broken. And in the language of the Tanchuma, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hiter li'akum shkotzim v'rematzim al Yisrael shehem lechayim omer lehem v'isem li kidoshim ki kadosh ani al tishaktus nashal sechem et zelo tochlu et zelo tochlu osetamu bahem v'nitmesem bam. And why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is demanding kedusha and a higher level from Klal Yisrael? They're not allowed to be eat certain things and so forth and so on. The answer is Shehem Lechayim. Atem Avekim Hashem Lekechem Chayim Kulchem Hayom. In other words, they have a relationship of Chayim. It's a much more infinite existential relationship that will never be broken. They represent that Chayim Liad forever and ever, and therefore they have to be very careful. We have to treat them in a very high spiritual way and make sure they're purified based on their level. And finally, the last thing I wanted to mention to you is on the pasuk Va'esa Eschem Al Kanfei Nisharim. Hashem in Parshas Yisro promises to carry the people al kanfei nesharim. Rashi has this whole beautiful mashal that the eagle wants to protect its young, and therefore it places the babies on top of it. If there's an arrow, it will accept the arrow, and the baby will still be able to survive. Shemi Yisro pocheitz. And why does the Rashi asks, why does the Torah give the mashal of a nesher al kanfei nesharim is because ein of acher porech al gabav. There's no flying bird that goes higher, and therefore kishen nosein, when the eagle places its young on top of its wings, is basically it's a statement. Omer, the nesher is saying mutav yikane sachetz bi velo bibonai. Let the chetz go into my body, but not into the body of my children. Afania sisikain vayisa malach elokim vayovo bein machne mitzrayim. And Chazal say, "Hayu mitzrim zorkim chetzim v'avonim blustoros v'hanan mekablam." The Anani Hashem of the covenant of Hashem would receive all these blows. And halavai that we should be zocha in our time to see that Hashem would receive the blows and the arrows and the knives of our enemies. That would be a great bracha for us. That's something that we should pray for, that we should hope for, that the Anani HaKovet should protect us, and Hashem should be Mashrei Shechina on us, that this special relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael should be a reality even today, as it was back in the day when Hashem says V'yesa Aschem al Kanfei Nisharim. And that's when we know that our relationship is cemented. We know that Hashem has forgiven us. We know that bris that we spoke about in the name of the Maral, that is not conditional, will become a clear-cut reality, something that we can see in front of our eyes, and that should come to fruition. B'mehirah v'yameinu. Amen.